of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has more sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has the sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
Thank God for the love of God that takes us as we are. Nothing we can do to earn salvation. We can't clean ourselves up and make ourselves acceptable. But His love loved us when we were unlovable. And thank God for that same love that doesn't leave us as we were, but makes us a new creature in Christ. Little by little and day by day, He transforms us into the very image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the love of God that we have been studying on Sunday mornings, and we'll return to 1 Corinthians 13, where we are considering the description of the divine love of God in the three aspects. God's love for us, He loves us with His divine love. We are to love Him with His same love, and then we are to love one another all with this same divine love that's described for us here in 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, we read that love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. This has been the last description that we have considered. And we are now to the third aspect of this love that does not envy. And that is, we are to love one another with a love that does not envy. We have seen that the Greek definition of this word, this translated envy, is a burning passion or desire. Envy in the English language is this intense desire to have something that someone else has and to make it your own. So as we consider that we are to love one another with this love that does not envy, we can stop and look at the history of the church, and not just ancient history, but we can look at our own experiences in the family of God and in the local assembly, and we can quickly understand the chaos and the destruction that comes when one of God's people, one member of the body of Christ, envies a position or a talent or something that someone else has in the body of Christ that they want for themselves. To envy the place or the talent or the abilities that someone else has in the body, their place in the body of Christ, their ministry in the body of Christ. And when I say ministry, we all have a ministry, not necessarily a public ministry, as a preacher or an evangelist. But all of us have a ministry to fulfill within the body of Christ, a function that God has given us for His glory and for the edification of the entire body. And when we envy what someone else has, what that means is we are, first of all, discontent with the place that God has given us, that the place in which He has placed us by His wisdom in the body of Christ. So we're discontent with that. We want something different. So that's the first problem. And when you envy what someone else has, then that means you're going to be irresponsible to your responsibilities where Christ has placed you. And that's going to impact negatively you and the entire body. So this envy in what others have is just a destructive attitude that many of God's people do have. Let's read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 14 to 18 how important it is for us to be content where God has placed us in the body of Christ, with the abilities, the opportunities, the place among God's people that God has given us. We are to be content with that and not envy. If we truly love our brother and sister in Christ, if we love the head, Jesus Christ, we will not envy. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 to 18. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, I'm not important, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Does that really change anything if the ear would say that, envying that place that the eye has? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Every part is needed. Every function is necessary. But now God has set. Who has set? God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Boy, it's hard to argue with that if you really love God the way that you should. If you really understand who God is. God has placed each one of us in the body for His glory. That means that I am where I need to be, and I have been given all the abilities and talents that I need to fulfill my responsibilities in the body to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's placed me there. He's given me everything I need. That's also true of each one of you. You have everything God wants you to have to do His will. Now, we all have different jobs, different responsibilities, but all is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all we will be held accountable for. We need to learn to be content with that. James 4, verses 1 to 3. James tells us of the destruction that comes when we fail to love one another with a love that does not envy. James 4 and verses 1 to 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's nothing wrong with asking God for opportunities or positions or abilities to bring him greater glory. But it needs to be done with the right attitude. Not demanding, God, I want this or I'm not going to be satisfied. But rather, Lord, if this be your will to give me this talent or this ability or this opportunity to serve you and to honor you, if it be your will, then that's what I want. I want to bring you the greatest glory, but I submit my will and desires to your wisdom and your love for me and for the body of Christ. There are so many divisions and hurts that have resulted from jealousy among God's people. There are those Christians that try to usurp a place that God never gave them in the body of Christ, and it brings so much damage. You cannot love your brother and at the very same time envy his place, position, possession, or anything that is his in the will of God. It's impossible to love him and envy him at the same time because love does not envy. That's what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in this passage. If you love your brother, you're going to want God's best for him, right? Isn't that what real divine love is? You want God's best for that individual. Well, God's best for that individual can only be obtained as they are faithful to function in the body as God has placed them. And so why would you want to take that away from them if you truly want God's best for them? To want it for yourself. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. The scripture has a lot to say about envy, a lot to say against it, and how destructive that it is. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, there are those that pretend that it's a spiritual motivation when they want to usurp a place that God never gave them in the body of Christ, which includes in the local assembly, which is a local small manifestation of the body of Christ. But there are those that pretend, well, I want this because I can glorify God if I have this position or this ability or this opportunity. I can do great things for God. Well, that sounds very spiritual, but Paul says it's not. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Mortal, carnal, sinful man. Envy is a manifestation of the flesh. There's nothing spiritual about it. And yet many like to make that justification for their envy of what others have. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 to 21. Here we see envy in this ugly list of the manifestations of the flesh. And this is where it belongs. It does not belong in loving God or his people. Galatians 5 verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Now that first part of that list, we would all agree, yeah, that's horrible stuff. We should never do that as Christians. But what about this other list? It is just as much a manifestation of the flesh as the first part. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those things pertain to the lost. We should not imitate them. We should not allow them to be a part of our conduct or our attitude toward one another. Romans chapter 13. Again, envy is listed here as something that is ugly and destructive that should not be a part of the attitude of God's people. Romans 13, verses 10 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Envy brings harm to people, to you, and to others. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and what? Envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Envy is from the flesh, the sinful flesh that can produce nothing to bring glory to God. So you can pretend if you want that envying a place in the body of Christ or a ministry or whatever it might be that you envy, you don't have but you want. You can pretend that it's for the glory of Christ that you want it, but it's a lie. It only brings destruction. It won't bring edification to you or the body, and it won't bring glory to the head. So how can we avoid this envy that is so destructive? Galatians 5:25. The way to avoid envy is to dedicate yourself to a life of service and godliness in the place that God has placed you in the body. The opportunities that He has already given you, be faithful in those things. They may seem little and insignificant. The foot says, I'm not an ear, I get walked on all the time. The little toe can say, I'm just the little toe. I'm not important. How many would like to lose their little toe? They're in the natural. I like all of my toes. They all serve a purpose. The way to avoid envying someone else and something else that they have is to start thanking God for what He has given you already. It may seem little and insignificant, but you be faithful in it. Now, He may actually give you more opportunities, open more doors, give you more abilities. But until you learn to be content with what you have, and until you are faithful to use what He's given you, I wouldn't be expecting anything more. Envy is destructive. Galatians 5:25-26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So it's to be led by the Spirit is the opposite of envying someone else. Dedicate yourself to being led by the Spirit of God, sensitive to His direction in your life, sensitive to what the Word of God teaches you. Take time to seek the Holy Spirit as to what your place is in the body. Have you done that lately? Specifically, ask the Lord to lead you by the Holy Spirit as, what am I to be doing to bring glory to Jesus Christ and edification, spiritual edification to the body? It's hard to be led by the Spirit if you're not sensitive to His voice. If you're not looking to Him for direction, it's hard to be led by the Holy Spirit. You have to look to Him to lead you into what He would have you to be doing at this moment, in this place, with the opportunities and abilities that God's given you today. Be content with that, but seek to know what God would have you to do. I have known Christians, I have known preachers, pastors that push and fight and connive and demand to take from others a position that someone else has because they wanted it for themselves. And if you have to fight and demand and connive to get what you want, even under the pretense of it being a spiritual motivation, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will open the doors that He has for you when they need to be opened. If you have to push it open, you're already in trouble. You're already bringing destruction to yourself and to the body of Christ. Wait on Him to open the doors necessary for you to do what He wants you to do. when we talk about envy, sometimes you may think that it's a humble thing. Well, I want to do more for Christ. But envy and arrogance go hand in hand. They're very close companions. Because if you are envying something that is not yours and that someone else has, a place in the body of Christ, you know what you're saying with that envy? I can do that thing better than that one. And not only that, you're saying something even worse than that, more arrogant than that. You're saying, I know God placed him there, but I know better than God. I can do a better job there than what God thinks he can. So now you think you're smarter than God. You see how envy and arrogance go together? James chapter 3. We need to see how ugly this is so that we'll take the steps necessary to avoid it. So that we'll learn to be content with where God has placed us. Yes, always asking him for more opportunities and abilities to bring him glory. Absolutely, that's a proper heart attitude. But it is one that yields your desires and your thoughts to the wisdom of God. He knows what's best for you, for the body of Christ, and for the glory of Jesus Christ. James 3, 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, there are a lot that would claim to be, but let's see. Let's put them up and put ourselves up against the measuring stick. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Not the arrogance of envy, but the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. You see, these things that I've said, they're not my words or my ideas. This is the word of God. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you see the vast contrast between envy and the wisdom of simply accepting where God has placed you? The wisdom that is from above is first pure. My only motivation for all that I do and want is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purity that should be our heart. Peaceable, gentle, not pushing down doors, not fighting people for what you want, but gentle, peaceful. Peace is the proper functioning of all the parts in their proper place. When you think of peace, you may not think of a car engine, but that really is a car engine that is perfectly maintained and is running smoothly really is a very good picture of peace. Every part doing what it's supposed to do so that the whole does what it's supposed to do. That's a picture of peace. That's the body of Christ. We're many members. We all have different places and ministries and responsibilities, and we do them at different times and different ways. But when we are all being led by the Spirit, the body is functioning in perfect peace, perfect harmony for the glory of God. If that car engine, if we picture it in our head, and what if a piston, that car is running full speed, running perfectly, and one of the pistons decide, you know, I really don't want to be attached to this crankshaft. I don't like it here. And so he lets go. What's going to happen? He's going to go shooting through the engine block and cause quite a bit of damage. That's how dangerous and destructive envy is. One of the greatest causes of envy among God's people is the failure to be content with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what teaches us God's plan and purpose for the body and gives each member the instruction as to how we are to function. But if you're not content, and I've seen this manifested over and over again, there are those that cause trouble in the meeting and not just this meeting, but talking generally, where I've seen meetings divided because one individual wasn't content. The simple preaching of the Word of God wasn't enough for them. They wanted more. They wanted this. They envied this program or this situation or this. The Word of God wasn't enough. But this is why we need to constantly be immersed in the Word of God, reading it for ourselves, listening to it as we gather together, because we need this constant reminder. Or if we neglect the study and the meditation of the Word of God, sooner or later, we're going to begin to want something more than what we have. 1 Peter 2, 1-3 tells us that this is a way that we can avoid the trap, the destruction of envy. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and what? Envy, and all evil speaking. Well, what are we supposed to do instead of that? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Desire the milk of the word, and that will keep you from envy, because the word of God will teach you how to be content with God's plan and purpose for your life. And as you're willing to take in the milk of the word of God, then you'll begin to grow, and you'll begin to desire the meat, the solid food of the Word of God, that you might grow stronger and stronger. But your desire is not for someone else's possessions, position, or talents, but your desire is to know more of God. And that can only come from the Word of God. That knowledge can only come from constantly meditating on the revealed will of God. And if you're not content with that, you're not going to be content with anything. I've seen it over and over again. When God's people get tired of hearing the preaching and teaching of sound doctrine, they get tired of everything. They want something else. The pasture's always greener on the other side, whether that pasture is another church or another doctrine or another lifestyle. They envy that because they've rejected the satisfying spiritual food of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 6. Verses 3 to 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 6. 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 6. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come what? Envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. You see how we can avoid envy? If we will be satisfied with the sound teaching of the Word of God, it'll keep you from that envy. Because you'll find peace and joy and contentment in knowing God's will and purpose for your life. Be content with God's word, and you will be content to serve him in the place that he's placed you in the body of Christ. It'll cause you to be thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm glad you're not all like me. I don't think I'd like you much if you were all like me. We need the diversity in the body of Christ. I need you. You need me. And God knows the place that he places us is the place we all need to be for his glory and for our good. Saints, may we truly love one another with a love that does not envy.